Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that we are your ambassadors. And Lord, we pray right now for the boldness to stand and do things your way and think like you and labor with you at what you are doing today in the dispensation of grace. Lord, we thank you for those who are listening in. We pray that as we study together, and Lord, as I teach and preach your word, my prayer is that I will continue to help perfect the saints for the work of the ministry through this phone ministry that we have. We thank you that we know that we pray to you, that you will give us that boldness to stand on your word in this God-rejecting world that we live in. Lord, we thank you for all of those who are tuning in. We thank you for the gospel, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And we pray as we study together that by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit, that we will be enlightened in your holy scriptures tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, we're going to get right in tonight with our lesson. And we've been coming off the scriptures, Romans 1, 18, verses 18 through 32. And we had been down by verses 31, 32, Romans 1, 31, 32, without understanding what Paul's talking about, covenant breakers without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasures in them that do them. The importance of the gospel, the grace of God, in our great commission and dispensation of grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. That is our great commission in the dispensation of the grace of God. For the love of God, our love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 15, that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. How did he do it? By Jesus Christ. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ. Look what he was doing. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto him, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. According to this passage, we are to tell lost people that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them. That is, he has offered to take care of their sin debt by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die in their place. If they are to pass from eternal death to eternal life, they must receive by faith, neither by works, nor by faith and works, the merits of that finished cross work as we have. Once they trust Jesus Christ's shed blood as sufficient payment for their sins. I'm hoping anyone is listening. You don't know if you're saved or not. Listen now. Once they trust Jesus Christ shed blood sufficient payment for sin, God cancels. In other words, he forgives their sin debt and imparts righteousness to them. Unless we are here to preach that glorious message of grace, they will know nothing about it. That's why I said we got work to do, saints, in the body of Christ. As we continue on our study on the reprobate and depraved mind, some may ask, why do those who hold the truth in unrighteousness, why do the God rejecters and the reprobate and depraved mind keep on doing what they're doing and engaging in these type of sins. What says the scripture? Romans 1:32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. They have pleasure. They delight in those who commit sin and hence encourage them in it and excite them to it. In other words, the desire to bring others with you to destruction. That's what that reprobate depraved mind is about. I not only want to enjoy these sins, but I want you to come on and enjoy them with me. Take pleasure in them with me. As you read through Romans 1 and Romans 1:32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Look what Paul said. Not only do the same, but they have pleasures in them that do them. It seems harsh to say that a gossiper, talking about all, when we go through that list that we went through over the past few weeks, it's harsh to say that a gossiper is worthy of death, that an envious person deserves death. If they turn away from the author and the giver of life, then it's natural that they would cut themselves off from eternal life. However, there is something we can really get from this verse, Romans 1:32. Something we really can get from this verse. Paul is saying that the people who do these type of sins, he said they are worthy of death. Paul seemed to be agreeing with this judgment. He seems to be condemning people to death for their sin. But in the very next verse, see, sometimes you have to go on into the next chapter for you to get the whole picture of what Paul is saying. And Romans chapter 2, verse 1, Paul criticized people who pass judgment and condemn others. Is he criticizing himself? No. He is criticizing the religious worldview described in verse 32 of Romans 1. The gospel reveals a God who gives salvation and a God who is righteous in doing so. God's righteous decree, according to the gospel of the grace of God, is life, not death. The gospel is the power of salvation. And the revelation of God's righteousness is a solution not only for the sins of paganism, but also the sin of being judgmental. God has acted to rescue people, to save them, to restore them to righteousness. As Paul would explain in later chapters, he has done it in Jesus Christ. He's a long-suffering God. Yes, they that do such things are worthy of death. But Paul knows that 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. And that's including those that Paul talking about in Romans 1, the God rejecters. That's what God is about. Even with these God rejecters and those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, as we look at society and the world, these God rejecters, they enjoy the pleasure of sin and invite others to join in. We are seeing a period of time, and you're going to keep seeing it because it's only going to get worse, that the pleasure of sin is openly being proclaimed with pride, no remorse or shame, but relishing a lifestyle that the ungodly are seeking to share with others. Blinded to the fact that there is a day of reckoning. One of the allurements of sin is that there is often a pleasurable dimension, at least initially. It's the sinister trap that Satan has used from the beginning. Now, that's how he appealed to Adam and Eve, recorded in Scripture, enjoying the pleasure of sin. But these pleasures only last for a season. There is a sense of pleasure, but it will not last. Sadly, a few moments of sinful pleasure, is often exchanged for much heartache and pain. We are seeing it happening today at the body of Christ, where many of the so-called preachers and teachers of God, as well as believers, who are turning their ears away from the truth and are accommodating and approving of ungodly lifestyles. We got Christians that says they look at a homosexual relationship and they say, I'm okay as long as they're happy. In other words, you done got sucked right on in, my brothers and sisters. And you're going to see more of that as more saints turn their ears away from the truth. You see, we are seeing such today because of an ungodly society that demands tolerance and acceptability rather than righteousness established in God's righteousness, holy and pure word. The importance of the gospel, the grace of God. Why is it so important? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, my brothers and sisters, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Focus on the expression, the God, the ruler of this world. Now go over to Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. All the systems of this world, I want you to understand that, political, economic, religious, educational, and all these others are the expressions not of God's thoughts, but rather Satan's policy of evil. We need not wonder why corruption, deception, and injustice run rapid even now. So are you going to cater? Are you going to give in? Are you going to quit while you're on this journey? While you're in the dispensation of grace? Are you going to see it? No, I can see it that way now. I'm beginning to see it. Are you going to turn away from God? We need not wonder why corruption, deception, and injustice run rampant even now. Unless this God rejects society and those who have been given over to the reprobate and depraved mind believe on Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, they will be on the receiving end of the wrath of a righteous, holy God. Yet in the midst of this fallen creation, Almighty God is performing a mighty work. He does this through his people, believers in Jesus Christ, as his word work in them who believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Sin is the method whereby Satan works to counter all that God wishes and does. Read 1 John 2:15-16. Love not the world. See, that's what's going to happen. Paul, we getting the warnings. We seeing it. Paul talked about Demas loving this present world. You see, this present evil world. You see, Paul is giving us warnings, my brothers and sisters. Love not this world, but this is John right here talking. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The evil world system operating today does so on the basis of creatures rather than angels or people conducting themselves according to the lust of the flesh. I want it. That's what we're going to have in society. It's there now. I want it. The lust of the eye. Oh, it looks so good. I got to have it. So now you got Christians, believers, looking at these worldly folks with what they call their success. Now they tell you they from rags to riches story and how you can be that. So now you got the lust of the eye. All those things look good. I want it. I want that big house on the hill. I want all the cars. I want all that money they got. My brothers and sisters, you're being deceived. And then the pride of life, I deserve it. Sometimes when you fall into sin, sometimes you listen to the enemy, and what does he work it in your mind? And the main thing that you hear people say, I deserve it. I worked hard all my life. I do what I'm supposed to do. I deserve it now. You see, Adam and Eve fell in all 3 points. I hope you understand that. They failed in the lust of the flesh. They failed in the lust of the eye. They failed in the pride of life. Genesis 3:6, but Jesus Christ triumphed in all 3 points. If you read Matthew 4:1-11 and Luke 4:1-13, when we rely on Christ, we partake of his victory over sin. The vast majority of it is open. Shameless, what we're seeing today, legally protected and only a tap away. With the flood of evil, pornography, perversion sweeping through our land and around the world, many of those who have partaken have a continual lust for more. Inventors of evil things are poisoning the minds of the youth at an early age, as well as drawing in Christians by the groves. Glorification of an ungodly lifestyle. Preacher, why are you preaching this? Because God wants us to see. If you think you're too high and mighty, you can't fall. Yes, you can. And be sucked right on in into this world system. You got to stay in the, as Dr. Jordan always said, you got to stay at the cross. You got to stay in God's word. You got to stay. You got to stay in God's word. You got to walk in it. Live it. Glorification of ungodly lifestyles, which are not in line with God's word. Deep and deeper depths of depravity can be expected in the evil acts that accompany it. There are those who are being held captive and dominated by the things of the world. Scripture reveals, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride is not of the Father. Do you understand that? But it is of the world. And who is the God of this world? Satan. We now have easy access to such. We have access to all kind of ungodly things through the internet, movie industry, television program, and other outlets that have opened the doors to receive the ungodliness of man, having become inventors of evil things. Let me stop and say this for us in the body of Christ. We must never get too prideful and arrogant thinking we can't fall. Like I said, Paul has already stated in Scripture, in the last days of the dispensation of grace, that many believers are going to turn their ears away from the truth. And when they do, my brothers and sisters, the draw and the lure of sin, let me tell you this, is powerful. And so much easier to trap and destroy their lives when they turn their ears away from the truth, from God's word. We may recognize something as temptation, but if we refuse to turn away, but keep nursing it and rehearsing the possibilities in our mind. You see, this is where so many are going to fall. What does Romans 12:1-2 tell us? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see that? Rehearsing, maybe rehearsing these possibilities in the mind. And where does Satan work at? The place where Satan works at is the mind. And the desire only grows. And of course becomes sin in and of itself. We may rationalize that indulging in a bit of sexual fantasy is just not that big of a deal. If we watch TV, we may easily convince ourselves that everyone else is doing it. Next, the sin may move into the physical realm, where it's fully embraced and found to be enjoyable. That go to pleasure sin. What was once recognized as wrong become merely a meeting of one's basic needs. Now many see evil as good. Perhaps we tell ourselves no harm was done. No one got hurt, right? And it felt so right, but how could it be wrong? Yeah, I heard that song, is loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. You see, when the pleasures of sin, and you get to enjoying the pleasures of sin, you get to that point where you shut off anything that you know the Holy Spirit is trying to bring to you. He's trying to bring that doctrine up to you. Guess what? You shut it off. You don't want to hear it. No. I don't want to hear what you got to say now. I don't want to hear flee from fornication. You shouldn't be engaging in adultery. You should be watching that pornography. Flee, Paul says, like he said, run from it. Flee it. Abhor anything that appeared to be evil. My brothers and sisters, then it might become, if loving him or her is wrong, I don't want it to be right. You get the full circle at this point. One's faith has essentially been put aside because the person is fully aware they are willingly choosing wrong over right. That's what's going to happen. And that's what we're going to see during perilous times. When you put all those ingredients together of God's word, of saints turning their ears away from the truth, and you're dealing with the perilous times. And they turn into those with tickling ear messages, storytelling. And then in the body of Christ becoming more, it's just becoming like denominationalism. Saints in the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace, it's becoming just tradition and commandments of men. And brothers and sisters, in the course of time, in many situations, sin is often exposed and destroys marriages, breaks the heart of any children, and hurt other people as well. It heaps destruction all around. The ripple effect does not stop there. It creates turmoil in many assemblies. And unbelievers use that conduct from the believers to show that all Christians are hypocrites. What do you think, sinners, when they looking? I think we can't forget that sinners are looking at us. So if we conducting ourselves, guess what, just like sinners, and then we want to turn around and now you want to present the gospel to the sinner, what you think they're going to say to you? Huh? Or they'll say to me, see, I can testify that. I used to do that. That's my testimony. I got a testimony about how you can taint your testimony. I tainted my testimony for years. Yes. And I'm not ashamed to tell someone. Sinners are looking. They're watching you. When you say you're a saint, when you say you're a Christian, if you don't think they're watching, they're watching. Yes. How you conduct yourself, how you carry yourself, how you talk, how you act, places you go, the things you do. And if you're hanging out with sinners and doing the things they're doing, now you want to turn around. Now you want to get, as they say, you want to get Christian now. You want to get godly. But what you think they're going to look at all the time when you're doing what they're doing, saying what they're saying, going to places they go, doing the things they're doing? They ain't saying nothing to you. But guess what? In that moment come when, guess what? Now you want to get godly. That was me. That was my testimony. That's my testimony. And I tainted it. And I caused a lot of stumbling blocks. I put it this way, in folks' way. Yes, I did. Now the ripple effect does not stop here. It creates turmoil, like I said. Because many the unbelievers, when they see these, they say, look at all them Christian hypocrites. And then when you look on social media and you see all these Christian folk, they show them doing they showing them at parties and stuff on social media. They show them celebrating anniversaries, and they got their two-step going. All these Christian folks, guess what? Sinners looking. You know how many sinners on Facebook, Instagram, They watch him. We ambassadors for Christ. Folks don't like to hear this, but this is the truth. It doesn't matter. You can go 400 miles away, 1,600 miles away, 16 hours away. Guess what? And you don't think nobody watching, and you want to go do your thing way out of state somewhere. Guess what? Folks watching. Yes. Yes, they are. So as the Bible makes clear, my brothers and sisters, the pledge of sins was only for a season, but the price is very high. And the price is very high for us as saints in the body of Christ, how we carry ourselves, how we conduct ourselves. And if we want to engage in the pledge of sin, guess what? The price is very high. And goes with pay to play. That's what I want you to understand. Once you get out there and you're dibbling and dabbling in sin, huh? Yes. It goes with pay to play. Guess what? Even if one sin is not exposed, it is not without consequences. I guarantee if you play with fire long enough, guess what? You eventually get burned. You see that? Read Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The pleasure sins are temporary. You see? Yes. Satan only deceives you by telling you what you enjoy, what you enjoy. He doesn't tell you what you will suffer. He doesn't tell you about the consequences. You see, Satan will get you out there on the limb as you're climbing. Imagine a tree, and you're climbing out there, and Satan, everything is good out there on that limb. Guess what? Look at all the stuff you have once you get out. And then, guess what? Once you get out there so far, guess what Satan doing at the bottom? He got his saw. He cutting you off down there at the bottom, at the back of the limb. He cutting it out, sawing you off. That's what happens. He tells you what you will gain. Satan tells you, he tells you what you will gain. He doesn't tell you what you're going to lose. Huh? Friend, what you'll lose is far greater than the lie the devil's telling you about what you'll gain. He ain't going to tell you you're going to lose your family. Huh? You're going to destroy your family. He's going to tell you what you're going to get out of the pleasure sins. Huh? Oh, Lord, the Bible says Satan has always hated the truth, and there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father lies. When he lies, he speaks his native language. That's his language. Lies, John 8:44. Don't become a casualty of his lies and the wiles of the devil. Don't be ignorant of his devices and schemes. Now, Galatians 5:19-21 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, various evilations. And then 21 talks about evil, deviance, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are, and then he lists them. The flesh is the idea of following the old sin nature and fulfilling the desire of the old sin nature. Oh, Lord, how many times have we got caught up in that flesh? My brothers and sisters, in other words, we are living contrary to who we are in Christ. We are living like we were before we came to Christ. Sin dominates us. We get confused. We fail. We get discouraged. The old nature of the believer is that which is begotten of the flesh. It is called the flesh, the old man, the natural man, the carnal man. Just as they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So they which is of the flesh and the believer cannot please God. The flesh, as we have already seen, is totally, it's depraved, my brothers and sisters. God calls it sinful flesh, Romans 8:3. He warns that it seeks occasion to do wrong, Galatians 5:13, and then declares that the works of the flesh are all bad. Galatians 5:19-21. Following a performance-based system, legalism, law, is how have sin ruled over us. Recall Paul's problem, chapter 7 of Romans. Living the Christian life under the law. What is he doing here in Galatians 5:19-21? He is saying if the flesh defines our humanity as life without the power of the Spirit of God, then let us just look at humanity apart from God, what you see in society today, and ask ourselves, where does humanity go if God isn't in the picture? And Romans 1 paints the picture clearly. Where does humanity go when God is not in the picture? Where do we go when we turn our ears away from God's word? We go into the depths of sin. We go back to the pleasures of sin. My brothers and sisters, as people are just left to do it themselves, where do they go? Do they become more righteous? Do they become more moral? Do they just drift away from God and sin? Paul is saying the answer to that question is pretty obvious. Just look around. My brothers and sisters, look around in society. Look around in the world. For those who hold the truth and unrighteousness, for those who have rejected God, look at what you see. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying the answer to that question is pretty obvious. We could be doing the same thing today. We could say, you know, what the flesh produces, just look around. Look at every environment, what God has been pulled out of that environment, and ask yourself, is that the environment become more righteous or less? Is it becoming more moral? Once again, Romans 1 paints the picture clearly of a society, a world that rejects God and his word. And we're going to pick up next week, my brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray as those who listen in that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened, and that they were edified as we studied your holy word together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.